And turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 this morning. How about you? But I like sunshine and nice, cool, crisp air. Love that fall season. Romans 15. As Pastor Armacost prayed earlier, he mentioned and prayed and asked that God would help those with maybe those who are here with heavy hearts. And I hope that's what we'll try to do this morning. We all carry some burdens. Maybe you've never been discouraged before or disappointed or depressed. And maybe you're lying if you say you never have been. Perhaps you are in such a case this morning, and our text passage gives us hope. The title of the message is, Here's Hope. Let's read Romans 15, verse number 13. It says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me read that again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, you are so good to us. And I thank you that you've given us your word to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to meet our needs. Lord, we stray from you. We wreck our lives with sin. I'm thankful that you're willing to heal us, forgive us, and put things back together. Give us hope, and I ask, Lord, that you would somehow, some way, use this message to encourage people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The reason that we get down so often is because we lose hope in our present circumstances. And when things are all going well, and we're all upbeat and happy and positive, but then as soon as things take a turn the other way, it's like, we get down so quickly, and we lose hope. Now, hope is anticipation. It's expectation. Now, it's an anticipation of something good, obviously. When I think of anticipation and expectation, I think of the little kid at Christmas time, right? I always go back to Christmas time when I was a little kid. You know, you've put on a little wish list of things you hope you can get for Christmas, and you're hoping that your mom and dad will get at least one or two of those things, and some of those, it's a pretty big pipe dream that you'll ever get some of those. But then you have those realistic hopes for, you know? And so Christmas morning comes around, and you're tearing into the packages, and I got what I hope for. There's that anticipation the night before, you know? On Christmas morning, I would never have a problem getting up early. Any other morning, well, that's a struggle. But Christmas morning, in fact, I was one of the first ones to get up on Christmas morning. I'd like to sneak down and, you know, be there first. Anyway, so that's the idea of anticipation. The Bible talks about this in Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When you're hoping for something and hoping for something that doesn't come to pass, you get heart sick. And we don't get too heart sick over, you know, not getting the gift that we wanted at Christmas time. But there are bigger issues in life. Things that we've prayed for, things that we've hoped for, things that we were longing for and expecting to happen. And they don't always happen. And that can be very disappointing. And to get heart sick, we sometimes are tempted to quit. You know, we say, well, I've prayed, I tried that, it doesn't work, so I'm giving up on that. In extreme cases, people give up hope on life, and they no longer want to live. You know, most people who contemplate suicide usually do so because they've lost hope. They think that things will never get better. And that's a lie from the devil, by the way. Then when you start thinking that, things will never get better. And I've counseled people who were in the throes of despair and on the verge of taking their life, and I found they don't want to kill themselves. What they want is some hope. And in those type of situations, I found if I could just give them some hope that things will get better, and they do get better. And so I try to direct them to the Lord and give them hope. And by the way, and this is just on the side, if there is someone here, you know, maybe you or you know someone who's so down and so depressed and so lost so much hope and has contemplated taking their life, we do have over in the Welcome Center a little pamphlet called The Truth About Suicide. I encourage you to grab one of those for whoever might need that after the service. But when times are tough, we tend to forget about all the good times that we've had. And we don't think that we'll never be happy again. Because whatever we lost, and we can't be happy without that thing. And so when we lose hope, again, we can't even foresee the possibility that joy can be around the corner. You know, I think of people with chronic health problems, with no hope of getting better. What's the use of living anymore? I'll never feel well. I'll never have my strength again. I'll never have a pain-free day again. People with big financial setbacks, no hope of ever getting out of debt, no hope of catching up. It's just overwhelming. What's the use? Loss of a friendship or a close relationship. People move away from us. They pass away. Sometimes they turn away from us. And there's no hope of ever being happy again because that person that was so special to us is now gone. And we lose hope because the object of our affection is no longer with us. But let me remind you, the object of our affection should be the Lord. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. A man by the name of Eric Barker was a missionary from Great Britain to Portugal. He spent over 50 years in Portugal preaching the gospel. And many of those days were under very adverse situations. Well, during World War II, it became so critical during that time that him and his family's life were in danger. And a lot of people recommended, said, well, you send your wife and your children back to Great Britain so they could be safe. So he loaded them up on a boat. And then also his sister, so his wife and his children, he had 8 children. And his wife and children went, but also his sister, who had 3 children, they went as well. And they were all loaded up on the same ship. Barker remained back behind because he had some mission duties to fulfill. He's trying to get things settled before he got out of there. And the Sunday after his loved ones had departed, he got up and stood before the congregation as he was getting ready to preach, and he said, I've just received word, because someone had handed him a telegraph, I just received word that my family have arrived safely home. And it wasn't until sometime later, he had gotten up and he preached the sermon, delivered the sermon, all that, but sometimes later, the people figured out and learned what he meant by those words, that they were safely home. A submarine had torpedoed the boat in which his family members were on, and they all perished. And he got up, and when he was saying they were safely home, he knew they were in heaven because they were all saved. And he gave calm assurance, nobody knowing that they all passed away, he gave calm assurance that here his family was in heaven, and he was able to, under those circumstances, still get up and carry on despite overwhelming grief. Now that's hope. Oftentimes we just have one little setback and we lose hope. We throw up our hands. I can't go on. We got to remember that our hope should not rely upon our circumstances, because circumstances always change. You're going to have some good ones sometimes, but a lot of times you're going to have some real bad circumstances. And the Lord, though, He never changes. And so our hope, when our hope is anchored in Him, we can keep going forward. And we don't have to lose hope. He doesn't want us to lose hope. And the Bible gives us great hope. The Bible is so rich. In fact, our whole sermon, all the points for the sermon come from this one verse, this text verse. I'll use other scriptures, but all our points are coming from verse 13. That's how rich the Word of God is. So I want to consider what God has to say about hope from this single verse. I want you to first of all see the author of hope. Look with me in verse 13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The author of hope. Who is the source of all hope? Right there, it's God. He's the God of all hope. Now we get down, we get depressed, some people turn to music. Their girlfriend runs off or their wife runs off, and so they turn on their country music and listen about, some other guy's wife who ran off on him. And that really, I don't know how that encourages him. It's like, oh yeah, and it's just what happens. But no, that's not a source of hope. And people, they're feeling all down and depressed. So they go to the doctor and the doctor gives them some pills and they pop a few pills and it's like, oh, I feel good. And then that's going to wear off. And they don't feel good anymore. And sometimes they feel worse than they did before. So they take a few more pills. And then they feel even better for a few minutes. And then they crash even worse. And eventually you hear some of them just, they OD. It's not what God wants. Our hope's not going to come from a pill. It's not going to come from music. It's not going to come from a bottle. It's going to come from God. He's the God of all hope. And he's the inventor of hope. He created it. He knows what hope is all about. And so it'd probably be a good idea if we go to the right source to get our hope. You're not going to get hope from the soap operas. When we lose hope, we got to consult the Lord, and He knows how to give us our hope back. When you look around this world, it's full of wickedness, hate, rebellion, all sorts of things, and it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? When we look within, all we can see is our continual failures and our frailties, and we get discouraged there too. So you look out. There's disappointment. You look in, there's disappointment. Everywhere you look, maybe it'd be a good time to start looking up instead of in and around us, huh? And because God is the God of hope, we can rise above our circumstances. Our circumstances, as we said, aren't always going to be good. But we can be victorious over our sin. We can be victorious over our sadness and sorrow. Hope, and I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Hope is like an anchor for the soul. Now you think about an anchor, a big old heavy thing that keeps those massive ships from being tossed about in the sea. The verse says, "We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." So God wants to give us hope, an anchor of hope for our souls. And, anchors, they don't take vessels out of troubled waters, okay? They provide stability for those ships during the storm or when the waves would try to push that boat away. Hope doesn't, in the same way, hope doesn't take away your problems, okay? When God gives hope, doesn't mean all your problems are gone. But what happens is He gives you hope so your soul can be settled and steadfast, and you don't have to drift to the dangerous waters and rocks of discouragement and depression. And surely there's a God of hope, there's a devil who wants to spread misery and despair. So what we need to do when we're having these difficult times, when we're losing hope and you want to give up on life or give up on certain situations or give up on people, right? Friends, family, the squabbles in your immediate family and your distant family and all these other things. What do? You look to God. You look to the author of hope and say, "Lord, I got a lot of problems. Can you give me some hope? I need some hope." So we see the author of hope right there. And we're back here in our text, Romans 15. It says, verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." I want to bring your attention, secondly, not only the author of hope, it's God. Second thing is the ability of hope. Now, why do I need hope? Because hope It's not just the anticipation and expectation of some good things. Hope brings good things. It says right there, the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace. Now, I can have anticipation. I can have this expectation that God is going to intervene on my behalf and He's going to fill my life while I'm waiting for Him to deliver me from the circumstance. He's going to fill me with joy and peace. I can have joy and peace. I mean, the Apostle Paul, as he's sitting in prison in Acts 16, he's been beaten, he's shackled. What's he doing? He's singing praises at midnight. How can he do that? He had hope. Where did he get it from? God. And because God gave him hope, he was also filled with joy and peace. How do you sit there and sing praises? Because you have a song in your heart, because you are happy inside. Now, his body, I'm sure, wasn't feeling real good. But he had a confident assurance that God was in control. And by the way, God was in control. And God did get him out of that situation, didn't he? God rewards us. But in the process of waiting to get out of that situation, God gave him peace and joy and hope. And he wants to do the same thing for us. Hope brings confidence that God's going to change our situation. He can deliver us from our problems. He can do that by taking those problems away. Or he can do that by just giving you the joy and the peace that you need and giving you some happiness despite your troubles. Many times in life, I'm going through difficult times and God just gives a little blessing along the way. What's he doing that for? Just give you a little hope. Saying, here, I just want you to know that things will get better. And did all my other problems go away? No. But I've got some assurance. I've got some joy and some peace knowing, oh, God just took care of this. You know what that tells me? He's going to take care of this too. And I've got hope and I can keep on going. We all lose hope. We don't need to lose hope, but we all lose hope. But once we have that hope, right along with it is that joy and peace. It's kind of like a tractor trailer, right? The tractor's what comes behind the tractor? The trailer, right? And so hope is the tractor and the trailer. It's like a tandem, right? You've got joy and peace to go along with it. It's just going to follow along. And once you get your hope restored, you're going to have some joy and you're going to have some peace. But let me say this. If you don't have joy and peace this morning, that means you've lost hope. That means you're a little distance from the God of hope who wants to give you that hope. And you don't have to be far from him because he made a way that you can be close to him. And I like that. God loves me. He loves you. And he wants you to have hope. And again, he's not promising that all your troubles are going to be gone, but he is promising to go through those troubles with you if you want that help. The God of hope wants us to be filled with hope and joy. And we don't have to be bankrupt, okay? Let me ask you, are you happy today? Are you happy today? Is there peace in your heart or are you unsettled? If your heart was like a gas gauge, I don't like it when it's on empty. You know, you ever get, you're on the highway and it's like, and then the light comes on. They call them idiot lights because you are an idiot because you just passed three exits where you could have got gas and now you've got 15 miles before the next exit and you're hoping, you know, and you're really praying then, help, help, help. Anyway, I've been there before. More times than I wish to admit. But anyway, so you're driving along. But how's your life this morning? Is it on empty? God doesn't want it to be on empty. Okay? When you get close to God, the God of hope, he's able to fill you. That's what it says. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. He wants us to have a full tank of hope. And emptiness is, again, the opposite of being filled. Maybe you need a filling hope today. Well, come to the right place because we've got the Bible to help you with that. Amen. But again, once hope comes, it always brings its friends, joy and peace. And if you've lost hope, seek the Lord this morning And he'll give you that joy and peace back in your life. So we've seen the author of hope. We've seen the ability. It has the ability to change our situation. Maybe not take away our circumstances, but change our attitude during them. Now, thirdly, I want you to see the access of hope. How do you get this? That'd be great. Yeah, we already talked. You have to get it from God. But how do you get this hope that brings us peace and joy? There's some people, it's been a long time since you've had peace and joy in your heart. That can change that fast. How do we access this wonderful virtue of hope? And how do we get filled with all the benefits that come along with it, this joy and peace? Find it right there in our text. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in, what's that next word? Believing. Believing. We got to learn to trust God in every situation and in every disappointment in life. And when we have faith and when we're believing, then we have hope. And so if you're an unbeliever today, you've never turned from your sin, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no hope. Because you don't know the God of hope. You're distant from Him. You've let sin take you away from God, and you haven't dealt with the sin to allow you to come back to God. See, sin separates us from God. God's here. We're here. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. We come so far short of His goodness. And we get short of even meeting Him. And sin robs us of all the blessings that He'd like to give. He'd like to give hope. He'd like to give joy. He'd like to give peace. But He can't, as long as you're holding on to your sin and saying, I'm not giving this up. I'm holding on to this. We have to learn to repent and turn to the Lord and get to know Him and have faith in Him and believe and trust in Him. Believe that God is fair and He's loving despite your trouble. God didn't create your problems. Many of our problems are created because of our own sin. And sometimes they're created because of the sin of someone else. I understand people, you know, we are sometimes, I'm not giving us here, we're victims. We are all victims of some nature, but we don't have to stay victims of our circumstances. We can turn to the Lord and be helped. We need to trust that He can deliver us from our discouraging times and depend on Him to satisfy us and to give us hope again. Psalm 42, verse 5. I'm going to read several verses, and you don't have to turn there, but I'll just give, if you want to jot them down. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. So the psalmist is talking to himself. He says, why are you all down? Why are you all discouraged? Why are you depressed? He gives the solution, hope in God. Stop looking at your problems and get looking up and hope in the Lord. He says, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. He didn't stay down. As soon as he started hoping in God, he knew he'd be praising the Lord pretty soon, because God was going to help him out. Psalm 71, verse number 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. You see, trusting God brought him his hope. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So trusting in the Lord gives hope. It gives happiness. Romans 4. You can turn back for that one, because you're in the book of Romans 15, and we're going to get back to Romans 15 in just a moment. But Romans 4, verse number 18, we see Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. But I like that phrase, who against hope believed in hope. He had no reason to have hope, but he believed in hope because he believed in God. His faith helped him overcome his doubt and his discouragement, and circumstances were impossible. Right? God promised him he'd be a father. He was 100 years old. Don't see too many 100-year-old dads walking around, right? You know, and he hadn't been able, you know, him and his wife hadn't been able to have a child yet. But God worked it all out. Why? Because it was against hope, but he just believed in hope because he believed in God. That's what he's trusting. And your situation might be so dismal, it's like impossible. But against hope, you can believe in hope and know that God's there to help you. Now, go back to Romans chapter 15. Now, our text is in verse 13, but I want you to go back and see verse number 4. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So he's talking about hope. He's talking about how we can have hope. He's saying, and he's pointing us to the Scriptures. He said the Scriptures. That's the Bible. He says we can have hope through what's written right here. And it's interesting in verse number 4, he mentions this. He says, "The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded," "for whatsoever things were written aforetime." Written aforetime. This is the New Testament. So what do you think was written aforetime? Before the New Testament was the, you got it, the Old Testament. And so he said, the things that were written in the Old Testament were written to give us hope. And really, in chapter 15, it's kind of interesting. Five different times, there's scriptures quoted from the Old Testament. Look with me in verse number 3. It says, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written." Get this idea. He's saying, as it is written. So Paul, the apostles, pointing the people, he's writing to the church at Rome, he's pointing them back to what was written in the Old Testament. He says, as it was written, he said, don't forget what God had said in the Old Testament. Don't forget what was written in the Bible. Now drop down with me in verse number 9. He says, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written." Now he quotes another scripture. And then verse number 10. And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles with his people." You see what he says there? "And again he saith." So he's quoting again another Old Testament passage. Verse 11. And again. Here's quoting another Old Testament passage. And verse number 12. "And again Isaiah saith." And he's quoting the book of Isaiah. Then you get down to verse number 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Believing what? Believing the Scriptures. So if you want to have joy and peace and you want hope, you've got to get in this book. A decision to stay out of this book is a decision to stay sad and miserable. Now I'll be honest with you, there's times where I get down. And I don't, the last thing I want to do is read the Bible. But that's the first thing I need to do. And so I do. And God begins to strengthen me and give me that hope. I just know from experience, and I know because God said it, that it works. So I just got to make sure I work it. And when I don't work it, that's to my own shame. And it's to your shame too. So turn to the Lord. How do we access this hope? It's through faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So we need to get back in the book and stay in the book and read the Bible. Not just when we're down, but when we're up. It's the anchor. God's the anchor in trusting Him and having faith in Him. And hope's found when we seek comfort from the Scriptures and trust God to help us in our time of need. What's your time of need? What are you struggling with today? God has an answer for everything that we deal with, right in His Word. But if we're not going to get in it, we're going to miss out. So don't say there's no hope, right? Sometimes we say that, oh, there's no hope. Maybe you've struggled with a sinful habit. People struggle with drinking. They struggle with pornography. They struggle with stealing. As was mentioned, you know, rock music. People struggle with a lot of things that they know are wrong and bad for them, but they keep going back to them. And then they say, well, I tried. Well, why don't you keep trying, number one? But once you work the whole equation, you can't say, you know, when I've dealt with people who have, you know, got this sin that they just never seem to have victory over, you get down to it. You ask them, are you reading your Bible and praying every day? Well, why don't you start there? Have you been faithful to church? Well, it comes sometimes. Well, how do you expect to have the strength that you need and to have the faith that you need and to get the hope and the victory that God promises if you're not in church and you're not in the Bible regularly? This is how we can have victory. Like I said, don't work half the equation. Say, I tried once or I prayed once or whatever. No. Stay at it and fill your heart and your mind with God's word. He tells us that we can build our faith through his word. So being in the Bible, it builds our confidence in God and it increases our hope. Try it this week. Try it. What you see, number four, then, the abundance of hope. We have this access by believing, having this faith, but what does it bring? It brings not just that joy and peace, but he wants to give us an abundance of hope. Again, this verse is so rich. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Now, to abound in something is to have too much, right? I'm sure you're all abounding in money, right? Your bank account is bigger than it ever has been before. That stimulus check you got is long gone. And now the inflation and the taxes that are increasing, now you're paying more than what you got in your stimulus checks anyway. Aren't you encouraged? Oh, I'm losing hope. You don't have to lose hope. God wants us to abound in hope. Now, I thought about, you know, bringing this illustration up, and I was going to make a big mess, so I didn't. You know, you take a little glass, you know, like a juice glass and a 2-liter bottle of Coke and just pour it in and just keep pouring and empty out the entire 2-liter. What's going to happen? Yeah, that's going to be full. The glass is going to be full, but it's going to be overflowing and it's going to go all over the place. It's abounding. There's too much Coke. God wants to fill us up, as we said earlier, but help us to overflow with hope. Like Eric Barker from our opening illustration. It wasn't just because he was a missionary, it was because he was trusting God. And he had faith that his family was in heaven. He said, that's like supernatural. Yeah, he was abounding in hope. And this is the type of hope that God wants us to have. I've visited people who are dying in the hospital and things like that, and they're sitting there with a smile on their face. Why are they smiling? Because God is getting them through. God is their hope. They know where they're going. They're ready to get there. You go there to comfort and console them, and they're comforting and consoling you. Don't worry. I'll be all right. Don't feel bad for me. God is so good, and he wants us to overflow with hope. He doesn't want us to have it occasionally. He doesn't limit our hope. You see, when our children are given candy, someone, you know, buys them a bunch of candy, you know, it's usually some grandparent that shows up and gives them too much of all the bad stuff, right? We don't allow them to, well, we don't normally allow them to eat all they want in one time. We limit how much they can have, all right? I'm glad that God doesn't put a limit on the amount of hope that I can have. I can have all the goodness and joy and peace available. Again, as we said, I'm not trying to, you know, preach some, you know, pie-in-the-sky message. He doesn't promise to take all your problems away. When you have that anchor of hope, it keeps you steady during the storm. It gives you that joy and peace like it gave Paul to get through those hardships and trials despite those problems. But I'm glad he doesn't limit us to small doses. Well, you can have a little bit of hope now. Got to wait till next week to get a little bit more. I'm so glad he's not that way. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing is going to withhold from me if I'm doing what's right. I'll get what he wants. Now, let me tell you one of those good things. Hope. He's not going to withhold hope, because that's one of those good things he's talking about in the scripture. And you can confidently come to him and ask him for and expect hope. You can hope for hope. You can anticipate it. You can claim this promise to abound in hope because he clearly indicates that it's the will of God for our lives. And when he says something is available and possible, then we should take him up on his word. So a defeated attitude doesn't have to linger. Now, do we get down? Yep. And as much as you don't want to be down, God doesn't want you to be down. That's why he gives us hope. But a lot of times, we don't take what's available to us. Think of young people, especially if you've got good, godly parents, and they're trying to offer hope and help and guidance, and you just thumb your nose at them and just do your own thing. You're going against what God has for you. You can have hope, but you don't have it because you turn away. And that's on you, by the way. So he wants us to have an abundance of hope. Do you have it? You can, but do you? Now I want you to see, lastly, the agent of hope. Who's the one, who's this person who brings us this hope? Verse 13 here of Romans 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The person of hope is the Holy Spirit. Now he's the agent. What's an agent? An agent's a mediator, right? You take, in sports, an agent, these guys get their agents to negotiate deals. So they go to the team and they secure a deal for the athlete. And he negotiates and delivers this, you know, multi-million dollar deal. Well, I'm glad I've got something better. I've got someone who is a really good negotiator. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's the one who gets this hope and delivers it to our hearts. And if you're not right with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not going to have hope. So the person is the Holy Spirit. And then I want you to see the power of the Holy Spirit. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Hope doesn't occur naturally. It's not natural. What's natural is to get discouraged. What's natural is to lose hope. It's easy to be discouraged. You have to do nothing to be discouraged. Just keep living. Right? But it takes a lot to get encouraged. And it takes a lot of reminders from the Word of God to be encouraged. So there must be a power that produces this kind of abounding, lasting hope. And it is. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that brings hope. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with power. And so to enjoy this kind of hope that he promises, you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, people who live in sin, they might have a little bit of brief happiness from time to time, but there's no lasting joy in their heart. Because they're not filled with the Spirit of God. We can't think, or let me say, you can't live with no regards to what God wants for your life and expect to have hope. It doesn't work that way. Okay? If we regard his promptings and his leadings, you know, I'm talking to the Christian now, if you just disregard what he's trying to lead you to do, you're not going to have hope, and you're not going to have the joy, and you're not going to have the peace that you desire. So when we sin, we grieve the Spirit of God. He gets sad, and we're not filled with his power, and he's not controlling. The idea of filling is that he's controlling us. And we quench his influence. The Bible says quench not the Spirit, but we do quench the Spirit. We quench by sin. So let me ask you, do you grieve the Holy Spirit by the things that you say? What's your language like? What kind of words, what kind of jokes come out of your mouth? Do you grieve him by the places that you go? You know, so, I probably shouldn't. Oh, how about the things that you look at, things that you watch, things that you scroll through and pause and look at a little bit on your cell phone? How about the people you associate with? They're not godly, for some of you, and they're pulling you in the wrong direction. You know they're a bad influence, and yet you still associate with them. Do those friends grieve and your actions and your involvement with them grieve the Holy Spirit? If so, you're cutting off your only source of hope. It's no wonder there's no hope. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So hope comes through the power of the Holy Ghost, but if you stop his power, you stop his influence in your life, you lose hope. Let me illustrate for you. In April of 2010, there was an explosion at an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. And it was it sent millions of gallons of oil into the water. Now, BP was the company who owned and ran this. And they made a lot of attempts to plug this thing up. And they kept failing, and they kept failing. So they just started pumping a bunch of junk into the hole. Just junk. That's how I heard it. It was just, I don't know what it was. It was just junk. They just kept filling it up with junk and junk and more junk and more junk. And then they capped it off, and finally the oil stopped flowing. And I believe that's a picture of what so many Christians do. The Holy Spirit wants to flow not with, you know, oil and cause a wreck. He wants to flow with goodness, and yet we fill our hearts and lives with junk and sin. And you keep putting enough in there, and you know what? I'm sure we're a lot more successful than the BP oil rig people were. It took them a long time to stop it up. It doesn't take long to stop up the power of the Holy Spirit. A little bit of sin will plug that hole real quickly. Let me ask you, have you filled your life with wrong things? If so, it's no wonder the Holy Spirit can't flow through his power and deliver the hope that you long for. Perhaps, as I mentioned earlier, you're not saved. You're an unbeliever. You have to have faith to have hope. And if you're not saved, let me say this, you have no hope at all. No hope in this life that your problems are ever going to go away and get better, and no hope in the next life, because when you die, you won't get to be in heaven with God. What you need is the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you can have hope. You've got to repent of your sin and trust him to forgive you, to come into your life and completely change you. He's willing to do that. See, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, Paul had mentioned this, that those who are, it says, without Christ, that they are having no hope. Get that? No hope. So without Christ means no hope and without God in this world. I don't want to be without God in this world. This world's pretty bad. I need all the help I can get, and God's really good at it. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, we were far away from God, are made nigh. That means close by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. So once you receive Jesus, he gives you hope because he forgives your sin. And that sin is gone, and now there's it's just a free flowing of the Holy Spirit to be able to give you the hope and the help that you need. God wants to bless your life, but he can't do it as long as you remain in unbelief and cling to your sin and you don't turn to Jesus for salvation. I hope that you'll do that today. Let's bow our heads and close our